Well, the third Sunday of January is designated as Sanctity of Life Sunday in many, many, many churches. That date was chosen because on January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion. That ruling, praise God, was overturned in 2022, but what that did, it just put the issue back to the states. So now states individually, they decide for themselves whether killing unborn children is allowed or not. Today, we mourn for the precious lives who have been lost to abortion. And we also affirm our commitment to the dignity of every life. What is the sanctity of life? Sanctity describes something holy or sacred. All life is sacred because it is set apart by God, from God, from the moment of conception to the end of natural death, the final breath of someone. So all people, born or unborn, young or old, weak or strong, they have value and worth because they are made in the image of God. President Ronald Reagan said, "To diminish the value of one category of life is to diminish us all." All lives deserve recognition and safeguarding. Now, with that in mind, what does every life long to hear? When Jesus faced certain times in his life, God spoke some amazing words to him. God the Father knew exactly what God the Son needed to hear. God knew all the challenges that Jesus would face that would drain him emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. So in Matthew 3, Jesus faced his first major defining moment in his ministry. Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Let's read verses 13 through 16. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade it." In other words, John tries to talk him out of it. Here's what he says. "I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me?" Hey, I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you, Jesus. Why are you coming to me? That's what John the Baptist said. Look at verse 15. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so, or it should be done. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, we must carry out what the Lord requires, what God requires. Then he suffered him, or John the Baptist, "Okay, Jesus, I agree, I'm going to baptize you." Verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway," came up out of the water, "and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting or settling upon him." So this baptism by immersion was done to obey his Father, and it was an act of submission to Jesus' life calling. At the time, Jesus needed to hear his daddy's voice. So with Jesus' hair dripping Jordan River water, I'm sure it was nasty, with his face set like a flint, that means he had some steadfast determination to do God's will, we overhear the Father say something to his Son. Look at verse 17, just 11 words. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying," say it with me, ready? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is very significant. All four of the Gospels include this special event. These three phrases relate directly to the three inner needs of every human being. Every life longs to hear these words. Number one, the need for acceptance. This is my son. Number two, the need for affection. Beloved, this is my beloved son. And then number three, the need for affirmation. In whom I am well pleased. Acceptance, affection, and affirmation. If I can turn my page here. If Jesus needed to hear those words, don't you think our children need to hear those words? Come on now, are you with me? How many believe our children need to hear those words? Our teens need to hear those words. Our spouse needs to hear those words. Our grandchildren. Our parents. Our grandparents. You know, the children, teens, and young adults in our church need to hear whether they feel loved and accepted at school or not. Whether they feel love and acceptance at work or not. They need to hear loud and clear from Gospel Light Baptist Church, you are loved and accepted here. These Embrace Grace mamas need to hear that they are loved and accepted. They've been hearing it since September from Lakin and Glenda in their class. But today they're going to hear it loud and clear from our ladies as we shower them with love immediately following the service downstairs. Our sick, our shut-ins, our widows need to hear that they're loved and accepted. Giving an encouraging word to one another is so important. Are we all in agreement there? There's another time we overhear God virtually say the same words to Jesus. This is about halfway through his ministry. He's been spending time with the disciples, mentoring them. He's been casting out evil spirits, feeding people, healing many, teaching the multitudes, becoming very popular. And what did he get for all his efforts? Anger, rejection, and a lot of bad publicity. What did Jesus need to hear at that point? God knew exactly what he needed to hear. Turn over to Matthew 17. Verse 5, he needed to hear acceptance. This is my son. He needed to hear affection. He's beloved. He needed to hear affirmation. In whom I am well pleased. And then he adds three more words. Hear ye him. This was the moment of the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there, but also Moses and Elijah showed up. Woo! Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets, and so God, in essence, was saying, hey, you guys need to listen to him because he is the fulfillment of the law and all the countless prophecies in the Old Testament. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was the fulfillment of all of that. So Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on this mountain to pray. While they're praying, his personal appearance changed into a glorified form. His clothing became dazzling white. Again, we call this the transfiguration. But that scene made an impression on Peter and John. And I'm sure James too. But Peter and John wrote about their experience. Many of you know what John said in John chapter 1. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's pretty familiar. But look at what Peter said in 2 Peter 1. I think we got the verse for you. For we have not followed cunning, devised fables. In other words, Peter's saying, we're not making up stories. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. That's what he's telling. In 2 Peter. Look at verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. There it is right there. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Say it with me again. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Look at verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So Peter describes the impact those words had on Jesus. Peter was saying that Jesus was energized when he heard his father's words. And after hearing his father say those words, there was something visibly different about Jesus' countenance. Parents and grandparents, don't you think we ought to energize our children and grandchildren by the things that we say and the things that we do? Church, should we not energize each other with the things that we do for each other and the things that we say? Like I said last week, instead of chopping each other down, we ought to be building each other up. These words were so well chosen by God that they represent what every life longs to hear. They are the only words recorded in Scripture that God spoke to His Son Jesus. Now, meeting one another's three needs are so important. Let's go back to the three. Ready? Number one, acceptance. Why is it so important? Because acceptance helps us find our identity. Now, whether our children and grandchildren say it out loud or not, here's what they're asking themselves. Am I okay? Am I normal? Am I any good? Am I worthy to be a son or daughter? Do I make the grade? Am I accepted? Now, not only are our children and grandchildren saying those things, I think a lot of adults are saying it. They don't feel accepted. I see people of all ages, because I think there is so much negativity going around. We all make stupid mistakes and decisions. Can I hear an amen there? Okay. And we hurt one another. People just want to feel accepted even with their flaws. God knows you. He knows me. He knows everything we've ever done right. He knows everything that we've ever done wrong. Every righteous thought we've had and every unrighteous thought we've had. Oh my goodness. But here's what else He knows. God knows that I am accepted in the Beloved. That's according to Ephesians 1:6. That I have been declared righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, our church needs to be a place where everyone feels accepted. That acceptance brings a strong sense of identity. I tell you, if we feel like we're accepted, then it's going to help us communicate more effectively. We're going to be able to establish more healthy relationships in the church, and we can engage in fulfilling relationships. Now, won't that help us this year as we embark on considering one another? As we're trying to stir one another, like we said last week, unto love and good works, acceptance is key. Number two, affection. Why is affection so important? Because it helps us find our worth. Acceptance helps us find our identity. Affection or love helps us find our worth. Our children don't always feel comfortable showing affection, much less asking for it. When's the last time your kids or grandkids asked for a hug? Sometimes it's hard to get them to hug, all right? But here's what they're asking themselves. Am I worthy to be your son or daughter? Am I worthy to be a friend? Am I likable? Am I loved? And again, I believe children or people of all ages struggle with these kinds of questions, even right here in our church. I got good news. God imputed to us His own righteousness, not because we were worthy of it, but because we were unworthy, unlovable, and unable to make ourselves worthy in any way. But, and here's the good part, He actually loved us in spite of our condition. How many remember Romans 5:8? But God commendeth or showeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since He loved us in spite of our condition, we now have infinite worth. Our church needs to be a place where everyone feels affection. That affection will produce a very strong sense of worth. Everyone will realize they are a great value to God and that they are a great value to one another. All right, number three, we've looked at acceptance. Helps us with our identity. We've looked at affection. It helps with our worth. Affirmation helps us find our potential. Each of us experiences times of asking ourselves, am I effective? Am I productive? Am I achieving anything of value in my life? We all want to know that we're reaching our potential, that we have what it takes. Man, there are so many words of affirmation from God in Scripture. How many remember this one? You are precious in my sight. Woo! Does that do something for you? How about this one? You are mine. How about this one? I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are there times where we need to hear words like that? How about this one? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Our church needs to be a place where people are receiving affirmation. We are the body of Christ. We're helping each other accomplish good works by utilizing our spiritual gifts. So as we encourage and affirm one another, it's going to help us reach our potential. There are so many ways where I failed my kids in meeting these three needs in their lives. I'll give you one example. I'd give my kids five things to do, and instead of pointing out the four things they did right, guess what I do? I point out the one thing they did wrong. Can you relate? There are so many times where I failed to meet these three needs in Tanya's life. By the way, she's very sick this morning. Came down with something last night. Fever, aches, everything. So pray for her. She wanted to be here today so bad for these ladies. But I failed in Tanya's life. There's times I belittled her. I said very harsh words. I hurt her. I made her feel like she was unacceptable, unloved, non-affirmed. And I think I've asked her to forgive me for every one of those instances. I pray to God I have. And there's no hurt. But there are so many times where I have failed to meet the needs in my kids, in Tanya's life, but in other people that I love, even in this church. By God's grace, this year, this pastor will learn how to show acceptance, affection, and affirmation to y'all. And then hopefully you'll follow my lead in our church. Will determine that we want these qualities so that we can be effective as we consider one another to stir up, spur on, urge love and good works in our church like we talked about last week. Let me give you an illustration of a car and how it relates to your children and grandchildren. You know, parents and grandparents, you need to read the hearts of your kids and grandkids like the dashboard of a car. We all know how to check the instrument panel. A lot of times, first thing when I crank the engine, I look at the panel just to make sure everything's on go and looks good. We know how to read the gauges, showing the fluid levels or the battery and how well it's being charged. But when a light comes on, like it happened to Alan the other day in his car, the check engine light started flashing and his car started jumping. And he had to make some major repairs. But when that happens, we're going to respond to it when we see a light going off. And we take it to a car repair place, or some of you guys can fix it yourself. That's great. But we're going to find out what's wrong. In the same way, we need to learn how to read the instrument panel of our children and grandchildren. Hey, if they don't feel unconditional acceptance, they're going to run out of gas. If they're not feeling unconditional affection, they're going to run hot under the hood. Are you getting my illustration? Hey, if they don't feel affirmation, their battery is going to drain out. Now, does this help you see what our children and grandchildren need to be? They need to be fulfilled in all three of these areas. Now, let's go to one more verse. Turn to Proverbs 1:27 if you'd like, or we'll have it on the screen for you. Look at Psalm 1:27, 3 and 4. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." That means they are a gift from God. How many believe your children and grandchildren are a gift from God? "And the fruit of the womb is His reward." Children are a reward from God. I love verse 4 though. "As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Just like a warrior with a bow and arrow, children born to a young man are like those arrows in a warrior's hand. Now, what does this tell me? When a person feels accepted, loved, and affirmed, they're going to have a desire to fulfill God's will for their lives. They are going to hit the targets that they are destined for. Because they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. You say, "Preacher, why?" Because acceptance brings security. Affection brings stability. And affirmation brings success. Isn't that what we all want for our children and grandchildren? Isn't that all what we all want for each other? Hey, we want security, we want stability, we want success. These three together. We have equipped our children to do God's will. I believe every one of you, if I were to ask you, do you want your children to do God's will or their own will? That's a crazy question. Hey, I want them to do God's will. I want my children and grandchildren to do what God wants them to do. Fulfill the purposes of why God placed them here on this earth. Well, they need these three. All children should have the opportunity to be born. We've already agreed with that, right? Sanctity of life. So that they can serve Jesus. And He alone is going to call them home someday. But they ought to be able to live from the moment of their conception all the way to natural death. That's why we value the sanctity of life. Every life. And we want to give them acceptance, affection, affirmation. A man was walking by a construction site. He asked one worker what he was doing. And the worker said, "I'm laying bricks." He wasn't too excited about it. He asked another worker, "I'm earning a living." He wasn't too excited about it. But then he came to the third worker. And with excitement, he said, "I am building a cathedral." Some parents are just laying bricks when it comes to rearing their children. They have no master vision of the life that God has for their kids or grandkids. Parenting is nothing more to them than putting food in their stomach and clothes on their back. It's a dull routine. It's like laying one brick on top of the other. Others see parenting as a duty. Like the worker who, "I'm just making a living." Children are a burden. Children are seen as a responsibility. Someone has to perform. It's kind of like a chore. Oh, I got to take care of these kids. You know what? There are still some parents who are like that third worker. They see themselves as we all ought to. And they realize that God wants them to be an equipper, to equip their children to do something for a holy God. It's our job to have a vision for our kids, grandkids. Realize that God has a master plan that's more important than anybody else's plan. God has a master blueprint for every person. Did you realize your children and grandchildren are just on loan from God for just a short time? They belong to Him. He's loaned them out to you to take care of. We are co-laborers with the Lord. I am supposed to equip my children and grandchildren to glorify God in everything that they do. Every human being is intended to be a temple or a cathedral, if you want to use our illustration. Because when they receive Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that we are the temple of God. Right? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God? And we're supposed to glorify Him in everything that we say and do. Now, a child who learns that his life is in the hands of God is very steady and stable. Although Nebuchadnezzar tried to threaten him, Daniel knew who held his destiny. And it wasn't a human being. He was not swayed by the king's command or the king's food. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And then he had some friends, y'all remember them? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, to bed we go, is that what? No, Abednego. They determined that they would not bow down to the image. And God protected them, even though they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, that's the qualities that we want in our young people. Is it not? God protected them because they loved Him supremely. They stood up no matter what. And that's what we desire for our kids. Do you know what, church? We have a part in impacting this generation for Christ and the next. You see the teens sitting in this auditorium. You saw the children that went out. You see the little ones down in the nursery right now. I tell you, we can make an impact on their lives. We need to follow God's words to Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I believe our children and grandchildren, and even all of us, each other, will be secure, stable, successful, equipped to do God's will, equipped to glorify Him in our lives. You know, women, men and women, inside and outside of our church, who have an unexpected pregnancy, crave acceptance, affection, and affirmation. I think we are living out God's call when He says you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. That's why we have Embrace Grace. We want these ladies, if they're not saved, to become a believer in Jesus, because He makes all the difference. I believe offering love and hope and help to someone considering abortion is good work. So we're even accomplishing our theme for the year, because we're stirring up to love and good works. So we offer the Embrace Grace Ministry right here at our church. We support the Blue Ridge Women's Center. And we give these bottles out. Go by the table and get you a bottle. Put in cash, checks, whatever. You can do it online, electronically. But we support the Blue Ridge Women's Center. That's why we participate in Love Life. And we're going to do the prayer walk again in August this year. All three of those ministries are working hand in hand to preserve life. And this church stands for life. Now, the core issue, I'll just close with this. When it comes to abortion, when it comes to the sanctity of life, hearts and minds, listen, are only changed through the gospel and the truth of God's word. You're not going to change hearts politically. Have we tried that? It has not worked. It's going to take the gospel, the truth of God's word. So our pro-life message should never be separated from the abundant life that we enjoy through our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And they need to know that. Salvation is available to all, like Brother West said. Available to all that call upon His name. Because that has the power to create change in anyone's life. That relationship with Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, boy, I'm going to encourage you to trust Him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. How many feel this? When you got saved, you experienced God's unconditional acceptance, affection, and affirmation. Have you experienced that? Isn't it wonderful? That we, and his is unconditional. Mine's up and down like a roller coaster. Because I'll accept somebody one day, and buddy, they'll do something, and then I'll say, woo, I'm not sure about that one. I'll show affection to Tanya and the kids and the grandkids one day, and then other days it's harder. And I don't affirm like I ought to. But I tell you, with God, woo, you got it 24/7. Unconditional. Thank God for that. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, do anyone here not know Christ as their Savior? I'm concerned for you. I just want to pray for you. Nobody's looking. Just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Anybody? I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody? Just want to pray for you. All right. Y'all, if you claim to be saved, then let's pray for life. Lives will be preserved. That's why we support these ministries. We want to be a help and a blessing to people considering abortion, and we want them to choose life. Let's pray for them right now. Lord, we give this day to you, this special Sanctity of Life Sunday. We don't take it lightly. It's excruciating how many babies have been killed through the years, and it breaks my heart. But Lord, we want to love those who have had a part in that. We want them to receive you as their Savior. And so, Lord, help us to do our part in reaching those people for Christ. And Lord, thank you for the ladies you've brought our way to minister to, that we can show them that love, give them some hope, be there for them. I pray they would experience that today. And Lord, just help our church to choose life, to stay strong, and to just encourage that at every turn. Help us all to participate. Help us to pray for the unborn every day. Please, God. We thank you for this time we've had in your word. May it strengthen us for the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.